Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Friday. It's November 16th. Can you believe half the month is gone already? Make sure you stay tuned right here to EWTN and Ave Maria Radio for all the latest news and information, especially on the Bishops' Assembly, which is wrapping up and which Al covered for us. And, of course, EWTN and EWTN News Nightly and the entire gang. Appreciate all your support for everything we do to keep you connected, as the name of this program goes. Well, I'm wrapping up a two-week pilgrimage, actually a 10-day pilgrimage, and I hung out a day and a half extra because I had some interviews to do and had some meetings in Rome, and I'll be heading home today after the program. And it's been a beautiful pilgrimage with about 30 women from across the U.S. of A. and my dear friend Kelly Walquist, who is the foundress of the ministry Women in the New Evangelization. CatholicVineyard.com is a website if you want to check it out. And it's just incredible to share this type of an experience with people from all different walks of life, at all different stages of faith and their relationship with God. God's not through with any of us yet. And along the way, we laugh, we cry, we share stories, we talk about our favorite saints, and we meet a lot of our favorite saints, as we did in this last trip. So I'll tell you a little bit about that in a minute. But first, I want to talk about our program. I'm so excited to have Father Joseph Fessio on with us this morning. Before I left, we sat down and talked with him, spoke with him about the company's 40th, that's right, 40th anniversary this year. They're having a big celebration. You can find out more. It's going on kind of all year long. Ignatius.com, a lot to celebrate. And he also talks about the great relationship he had in the beginning and still has with EWTN. But in particular, you hear so much fondness expressed by Father regarding Mother Angelica and the help that she gave their ministry when it first got off the ground. Mother Angelica not only began EWTN radio and TV, but she helped so many other apostolates that she believed were joining her in the effort to make a difference and to preach the truth of the Catholic faith and love. So it's an interesting angle that you may not hear often. Lots of people, of course, talk about how much they love Mother and what she did and how she brought us this incredible network that reaches across the world. But we don't hear those insider stories often enough, in terms of how she just reached out to so many others to help them get started. So Father Fessio will take a look at that. And then we are going to be talking about another really great little pocket book. Now, on the East Coast, we say pocket book as in purse, but this is actually a pocket book, a little book that you can fit in your pocket for the guys and in your bag for the ladies. And it's perfect to take anywhere. It is a rosary litany. And it's published by our friends at Our Sunday Visitor, endorsed by our very own Father Larry Richards. And it's a great little book, and Father Edward Looney is going to be joining me a little bit later on this morning to talk about learning more about this great gift in the prayer of the Rosary, which is really a study of the Scriptures, I think, a meditation on the Scriptures and the life of Christ. It really is a mini Lectio Divina of sorts, because every time you pray the Rosary, you are going over the particular areas of the Holy Land, where our Lord walked, where the saints walked, and you're learning more about Christ and his relationship with those saints, and especially with his mother, our Blessed Mother as well, Mary. So the little booklet is a rosary litany, and that's coming up right after our interview with Father Joseph Fessio. Before we take a break and start our interviews, I did want to share with you a homily that I heard on All Saints Day, the very beginning of this month before I took off for Italia, for the motherland. And it was given by a good friend of ours, a fellow deacon, Deacon Tom Strauss, and he's at St. Joan of Arc Parish in the Archdiocese of Detroit. My husband and I were at that parish for many, many years until he became a deacon, was ordained 6 years ago, and has been at St. Isaac Jogues in suburban Detroit ever since then. But we see Deacon Tom occasionally, and of course, every once in a while, if I can't make the mass that my husband is serving at, I will go to St. Joan. It's actually a little bit closer to my house. And so I went to the noon mass before I left for Italy on All Saints Day, and Tom gave this great homily about a recipe for saints. And I thought, okay, so All Saints Day is 2 weeks ago now, but being that we continue to honor the saints every day in the Catholic Church, and being that I just got off of a pilgrimage where it was really all about the saints, beginning with St. Gian and Baratamola, then we met St. Catherine of Siena, St. Dominic, St. Augustine, St. Ambrose, and so many others along the way, our two-week trek through Italy, I thought, well, it's always good to remind us of what makes a saint. And I'm not just talking saints with a capital S, as Tom mentions in his homily, but saints like us with a little s, because we're all striving to be saints. So as Deacon Tom started his homily, he said, everybody likes recipes. And we know the popularity of cooking shows, right? And the Food Network and all these different programs out there. And I love to cook. It's very relaxing for me. I started cooking very young, learning recipes from my Italian grandmothers and my Italian mom. And even before I left, I cooked up a storm for Deacon Tom. Not that he asked for it. He's fine on his own, very independent. But I like to leave behind some pasta fagioli and some minestrone. It makes me feel good to know that he's got a nice warm bowl of soup to come home to. Anyway, I digress. So recipes are very popular. And so Tom gives us, Deacon Tom gives us his recipe for saints. He says, to live in God's ways is not easy. And so a lot of counsel, a good portion of counsel is needed so that we can recognize where we stand in any situation and act as God wills for us. To act as God wills for us, he says, that is to be the person that God intended and created to be, is probably as difficult as recognizing where we stand in any situation. So to give courage to follow Jesus, we also must have a nice portion of fortitude. Fortitude keeps our eyes fixed on Jesus and gives us the heart to move toward the Lord in all things. Counsel and fortitude, very important for that recipe for sainthood, and also they give us a pathway to knowledge. Knowledge, another top ingredient for the perfect saintly recipe, necessary for us to appreciate God's word, his promise, and his cautions. And he goes on to say, our faith must be more than just a mix of external elements. It requires, in addition to those ingredients, a deep willingness to give thanks and praise to God. So piety is the active ingredient, kind of like the yeast that pulls everything together, that draws us closer to Jesus and God the Father. Piety, Deacon Tom says, leavens our hearts to know all there is to know about God, to love him and serve him, and to yearn for the place he has prepared for us. Finally, the recipe for sainthood calls for us to bake, I love this, in the fear of the Lord. And he's talking about a good fear, not a bad fear in the sense that God's going to strike us down or get us back for something we've done. Scripture talks about this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In this recipe, fear of the Lord is the vibrant hope that will not disappoint God and the realization that his love and mercy will supply us with the grace we need to stay with him always. So you have a little fear of the Lord, a lot of piety, some knowledge, counsel, and fortitude. You mix it all up, and God willing, as we go forward every single day in our lives, we too, working towards sainthood, and God willing, will someday be in heaven with the rest of the saints. I thought that would be kind of neat to wrap up the opening of the program today after just learning more about so many of our great saints as we traveled across Italy. And we are doing future pilgrimages, so if you'd like more information, you can go to avemariaradio.net. Go to Pick Your Pilgrimage. Steve Ray and I and Deacon Dom and Janet Ray are heading to the Holy Land in February. And it's open to anyone. We have a special invite for deacons who might be interested. Deacon couples. We have about five deacon couples joining us. You don't have to be a deacon couple, but for those who do come, we're offering them an opportunity to read the gospel in these amazing places where our Lord lived and walked and where, of course, the Catholic faith was born. But it is open to families, and we also have a pre-Jordan trip that's going to be really cool, so you can check that out. And then in May, we're doing our couples trip, our third or fourth, I think, Roman holiday for couples on the Amalfi Coast. We already have about 8 couples signed up. We could take about 10 more. We'd love to have you with us. And that is in May, and we're starting in Sorrento, 4 days on the Amalfi Coast, and then 4 days in Rome as well. So if you're interested in a pilgrimage, or maybe even a local one, EWTN.com for the pilgrimage there down in Hansville, and of course Irondale for the studios, and then AveMariaRadio.net. Go to our pilgrimage page. Coming up, we're going to be talking with Father Fessio from Ignatius Press on their wonderful 40th anniversary. Very exciting and a real, real beautiful interview in terms of his love for Mother Angelica and all that EWTN did to help them get started. And then we're also going to be talking with Father Edward Looney, a beautiful book to help us understand and appreciate the gift of the prayer of the rosary more deeply. It's called a Rosary Litany, a little pocketbook, not a purse like my mother says, but a book to put in your pocket or your bag or your briefcase that you can carry with you and help you learn more about the rosary. It's very similar to this little pocketbook that OSV produced on adoration that we talked about a few weeks ago. And we'll be right back. Father Fessio joining us along with Father Edward Looney. It's a Friday. It's November 16th. Heading back from the motherland today. Pray for safe travel. Stay tuned. More Catholic Connection coming up on a Friday.
Encounter with Dan Demite and Patrick Rice is our show for young adults.
The Holy Spirit is about a new and exciting work in the young church of today. On Encounter, we bring young adults the life-changing testimonies of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. Their testimonies bring faith and power into the lives of everyone who listens.
Encounter with Dan Demite and Patrick Rice. The spiritual awakening begins Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
It's time to take control of your healthcare journey and experience healthcare fully alive with CMF Curo. Krista and Justin say,
we love having the understanding, decision-making, and control of our healthcare in our own hands and having the option to bear one another's burdens. But most importantly, we love helping others when they need medical support.
CMF Curo is a Catholic healthcare ministry that values the health of the whole person, spirit, mind, and body.
To experience healthcare fully alive for you and your family, visit MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Catholic Connection is underwritten in part by Charity Mobile. Communication is critical, and in today's world, your cellular service is your lifeline to family and friends. Ave Maria Radio and Charity Mobile are partners in communicating the most important message of all, the good news of Jesus Christ. Charity Mobile is a provider of cellular LTE phones and service and has been a proud supporter of Ave Maria Radio and other pro-life causes for more than 10 years. More information at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Charity begins at phone.
Always reason to celebrate in the One Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, especially when you have great resources to turn to, including our wonderful friends at Ignatius Press, and they have so many great books and great outlets, and I love Catholic World Report. Big fan of that. I post a lot of their articles. Big fan of our guest, Father Fessio, Father Joseph Fessio, and just a big fan of Ignatius Press all around, and proud to say they are the publisher of my book, Extreme Makeover, which is one of my favorite books that I've written over the years. Father, good to talk to you again. How are you?
Fine, Teresa. How are you?
I'm well and excited to have you on the program. Let's talk about the anniversary, the important anniversary you're marking this year with Ignatius Press, for starters.
Yes, this is our 40th anniversary. And since some of us may not be around for our 50th, we thought we'd better celebrate now while we have the chance. God has blessed us, and so it's going to, you know, like any anniversary, it's a Thanksgiving for all the blessings we've had, all the people who work with us, all the, you know, books we've been able to produce and the films we've been able to distribute. So, yeah, we're just going to thank God all together for all that's happened over these past 40 years.
Let's talk about the beginning of Ignatius Press, how it all started, and where you came in, and how do you see the future going forward for this company that's done so much to promote the faith?
Just a few questions. All right. Well, I began with my growing a beard as a Jesuit scholastic. And I thought I might get in trouble with my superior, so I saw my provincial, and he said, no, it's okay. Have you thought about going to Europe for theology? And I said, no. Do you want me to think about it? He said, yeah, think about it. So on the way back home, I thought, well, I'll go to France. So I went to France for theology, and there I got to know Father Henri de Lubac, who's one of the great Jesuit priest theologians of the 20th century, and a wonderful man, wonderful person. He was my mentor. When it came time to do my doctoral work, I asked him, you know, where I should do it. He said, I have a friend in Regensburg, Professor Ratzinger. I'll write to him on your behalf, which he did. And I asked him what I should do it on. He said, well, perhaps the greatest theologian of our time is Hans-Urs von Balthasar, so that would be my topic. So I went to Germany. At that time, I didn't drink wine or beer when I got to Europe at age 27. I began drinking wine in France, and my doctoral work was done in Bavaria. I found 13 different kinds of beer in Bavaria, wonderful beer. When I came back to the United States for ordination in 72, I drank my first beer. I won't name the brand, but I spat it out, and I said, if this, we're going to call this beer, I need another name for what I drank in Bavaria, because the two are just on a different level, right? Well, when I came back for doing my doctorate and started teaching and giving retreats, I realized that, you know, what we call theologians in the United States may be good in different ways, but it's not the same thing. It's like beer. What I had in Bavaria and in France was something of a different order. So we decided that we would make those books public, you know, and publish them, make them available in English, and that's how we started with Hey du Lubach, von Balthasar, Ratzinger, Arthur von Speyer. We began publishing these European authors, so I thought I had so much to offer. So that's how we began.
Amazing.
With no experience.
Did you ever think back then that Ignatius would become this this force, not only in Catholic publishing, but in the publishing world with the many outlets? You mentioned the movies, the books, the authors that you have, you know, working with you, and of course, the Catholic World Report, which is so respected as a great resource that we use all the time. What are your thoughts looking back over 40 years?
Well, I mean, we didn't expect this to happen. Of course, we wanted to serve the Lord and serve His church, and we thought we'll do our part and we'll leave whatever fruit there are to Him. And He's allowed us to grow pretty consistently over the years from 78 until around 2011. We kind of leveled off then, but now we're branching out in other ways with partnerships with, for example, the Five Stones Group in Illinois. That they have a warehouse, and we have a warehouse that they run for us, and they do a lot of work for us, website development and so on. And then we have a partnership with the Gusset Institute in Denver, where we co-publish with them and get books into the parishes. So there's a lot more to do. There's always souls to be saved and people to be nourished and people to be fed. So we're not running out of things to do. But we're happy. I mean, I did check last year when we had to change our software. I had to go back and export all our data from the last 39 years. And it turns out that we've actually sold over 32 million books during that time. So those are all seeds, you know, that we get letters, we meet people say, gosh, it's brought me back to the faith, or I gave it to my son and he had a vocation because of that, or whatever, you know. So we're very pleased that God has blessed us so abundantly.
We're talking with Father Joseph Fessio, of course. He is the founder and editor of Ignatius Press, and we're talking about their big 40th anniversary, which they're celebrating this year, just also talking about the growth of really so many incredible Catholic outlets. And we grew along with you at EWTN and Ave Maria Radio. And you have such an interesting background, Father, in addition to being, of course, a godly man and priest, working with Ave Maria University as a founding provost, and just have a real neat perspective on what's going on in our culture. And I know you've been outspoken, respectfully, but outspoken on the challenges we're facing in the church right now. I haven't spoken to you since this story broke back in June with former Cardinal McCarrick. Your thoughts as we're in the month of November with so much going on, it changes, I know, constantly, but what are we, how are we really to deal with this as faithful Catholics trying to just navigate what's going on?
Teresa, I believe that 2018 will go down as a critical watershed year in the history of the Catholic Church in the United States and perhaps in the world. But none of these things, they all affect us. We love the Church. We love the Pope, we love the bishops and all our fellow Catholics and all mankind, the love that Jesus gives us in our hearts. But nothing that happens in Rome or even in our diocese is going to prevent you or me from saying our prayers, receiving the sacraments, from giving thanks to God, praying the divine office, all these things, and serving others, serving the poor, taking care of people in need. We can all do that. However, we want to see a healthy, strong church that has respect in society and will be a moral leader. And unfortunately, the moral leadership of the church has been compromised, and there's many, many reasons for it. Certainly, And I think the root goes back to Umani Vitae in 1978. Mm. It's the 50th anniversary. But once you separated procreation from intimacy, you know, the pleasure of sex from the fruitfulness of sex, once you separated those things and denied Umani Vitae, then that left the field open to everything, since sex is divorced from procreation. Well, what's wrong with masturbation? What's wrong with fornication? What's wrong with extramarital sex? What's wrong with homosexuality? All that stuff. You can't have a base to criticize all that if you divorced procreation, you know, from sexual intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a root. And what that led to denial of church and moral teaching, even in the seminaries, about homosexuality among the priests and among religious and among seminarians. Was it huge? It was widespread. How huge, we don't really know. It's done in the dark. But so that's a problem. And then compounding that problem is something which is good in itself, but which can be abused, and that is confidentiality, privacy, and secrecy. That is to say, for the good of the church, not to cause scandal, many bishops and even curial people in Rome tried to hush things up and not make it public and make sure no one knew about these things. And there are certain things that should be protected, but it's an abuse if what you're afraid of is your personal embarrassment. And that is one of the greatest problems I've seen in prelates in the world that I know of, in the United States and in the Curia, is that there tends to be a real unwillingness to be embarrassed, that mm-hmm. to admit that something went wrong, that you made a mistake. I've seen it happen a number of times in direct personal experiences here. It doesn't affect everyone, but it affects many. And that's a problem in the church. We need more transparency. We need bishops especially not to be aware of the sins of the past, you know, 100 years ago or 200 years ago, but actually to own up to things that they've done wrong themselves and their subordinates have done wrong. We need more transparency. We can't be hiding all this stuff.
We're talking with Father Joseph Essio about the anniversary of Ignatius Press. He's a founder. We're also talking about our life in the church as Catholics. I think the point that you made, that nothing is stopping us from receiving the sacraments and doing what God called us to do, that's what we have to focus on, because Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever, as we know from Scripture. I think, though, there is a legitimate concern, and I would imagine you agree, that Jesus promised us that the church would be with us and the gates of hell would not prevail against her. But at the same time, he didn't promise it would be as large of a church, because just practically speaking, I'm just wondering how it's going to survive numbers-wise, because in terms of our structures, you see in Brooklyn, for example, one settlement in the abuse crisis, one of the lawsuits, $27.5 million. You see what's going on with the AG, the Attorney General offices moving in, and the feds moving in. I don't see how financially we're going to be able to sustain a lot of the buildings, maybe schools and parishes that we have. So it could be a different looking church in terms of numbers and structures, could it not, Father?
It could, Teresa, and there's a wonderful essay by Pope Benedict, Cardinal Ratzinger, before he's Pope, in a book called Faith and the Future. And the last chapter is called What Will the Church Look Like? He's very circumspect. He says, we don't know the future, but he says, just what you said, Teresa, that we're probably going to lose a lot of our institutions, a lot of our social influence, but there'll be a core there of serious Catholics who will be a model to the world when the world finally realizes it needs this again, you know, because if we see society without the church's good influence becoming more and more depraved, there will be a turnaround at some point, and people say, look, there's the truth, there's the light shining. And by the way, Teresa, back in the 70s, when we had a lot of bishops who were pretty weak, and a lot of this stuff was going on in the seminaries, and many lay Catholics were bewailing the fact they couldn't trust the schools, they couldn't trust their bishops. What happened? Mother Angelica founded EWTN.
Mm-hmm.
We founded Ignatius Press. We went over the bishops, or behind the bishops, around them. We got to the people. She got to the people in their homes. Didn't matter who the parish priest was, who the pope was, who the bishop was. The truth of the faith, the unchanging teaching of the church, the spiritual riches of the church were delivered right into people's homes. And we did that with our books. And that's been ongoing. So I do think, even though I'm a priest and she's a religious, neither Mother Angelica nor I could have done what we've done. without tremendous help from lay people. I mean, mm-hmm. I say that my greatest blessing is the lay people I work with. But what's happened, I believe, is now these lay movements, we have educated, look, hey, what are you doing, Teresa? You're on the radio. Mm-hmm. You're spreading the truth. You're spreading the gospel. So we have so many good Catholics in the generation beyond me, behind me, in two generations behind me, that I'm not worried about the health of those who want to seek the Lord and find Him. The truth will be there for them to find on the radio, in magazines, in films, books.
Let's take a quick break. More with Father Joseph Fessio from Ignatius Press, talking about the church, the health and wealth of the church in terms of where we go from here, and also the beautiful anniversary of Ignatius Press, which has partnered with EWTN on so many amazing projects and films, all kinds of great stuff. Ignatius.com, and one of my favorite news sources is Catholic World Report, also an Ignatius publication. We'll be right back.
Catholic Connection is underwritten in part by Charity Mobile. Communication is critical, and in today's world, your cellular service is your lifeline to family and friends. Ave Maria Radio and Charity Mobile are partners in communicating the most important message of all, the good news of Jesus Christ. Charity Mobile is a provider of cellular LTE phones and service and has been a proud supporter of Ave Maria Radio and other pro-life causes for more than 10 years. More information at charitymobile.com. Charity Mobile. Charity begins at phone.
How can we, mere mortals that we are, call God our Father? The Catholic Catechism says we can do this because His Son, who became man, has revealed the Father to us, and because His Spirit makes Him known to us. When we pray to the Father, we are in communion with Him and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We come to know and recognize Him with an ever new sense of wonder. The first phrase of the Our Father is a blessing and adoration before it is a supplication. We can adore the Father because He has caused us to be reborn to His life by adopting us through baptism. He incorporates us into the body of His Christ. The free gift of adoption requires conversion on our part. Praying to Our Father should develop in us two fundamental dispositions. Number one, the desire to become like God by responding to His grace. Number two, a humble and trusting heart. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to
why
a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to
The Catholic Church is too rigid.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
We're so blessed to have so many great resources. Of course, EWTN, as Father Joseph Fessio mentioned, and the amazing foundress, Mother Angelica. Ignatius Press, founded by our guest, Father Joseph Fessio. It really celebrating a beautiful anniversary this year, 40 years of amazing resources, and working very closely with us here at EWTN Radio and TV on a number of projects and different films. And boy, I love your films, and one of my favorites is the one that you did, that you released on St. Augustine, Restless Heart. I love that movie. Love it.
That was a wonderful film, and, you know, yeah. I watched many movies, and that's all owed to Tony Ryan, our marketing director, who has a family, and when they were young, he wanted to have good films for them, so he began buying and getting contracts for films in Europe and so on, and he made us, Ignatius Press, I believe, is the largest distributor of Catholic films in the world. It's all because of Tony Ryan, but that particular film, one reason I like about films, especially about saints or historical figures, is that they Hollywoodize it. You know, there's always a romantic thing, and you know, there's violence or whatever. And so when we saw that when it was done in Europe, I watched it. I said, "Well, this is really good. It sounds like a question to me." We sent it to my Jesuit friend, who's the editor of the Homiletic Pastor Review, which is a website we have. And he's an Augustine expert. And I said, "Hey, Father, take a look at this. Is this authentic?" And he swore back and said, "Wow, this is the real Augustine. Everything in there is consistent with what we know about Augustine." That's a great film.
And also, there's so many that you've collaborated on and done. And I also love, and I told this to Tony and also to Mark Brumley, I really enjoyed the film on St. Teresa Benedicta, Edith Stein as well.
And by the way, let me put a plug in for formed.org. Catholic website. Get your parish to subscribe or do it individually. But almost all of our films are up there, along with our e-books, along with all the great formation programs, and even church spiritual formation and entertainment even of Augustine Institute. So that's up and coming. I don't watch that either because I'm a book guy, but a lot of people like to see things visually, and therefore they form.org is great. One little anecdote, Teresa, about the cooperation with Ignatius Press and EWTN. In our early years, when Mother Teresa and Mother Angelica was going strong and we were struggling, we found out that all three English translations of the Bible were becoming inclusivized. So we decided we were going to republish the revised standard version without that inclusive language. We couldn't afford it, though. I called Mother up. I said, Mother, here's the situation. She said, what's going to cost? I said, $100,000. She said, it's in the mail. And the next day, well, maybe 2 days, we had that check in a couple of days. We paid her back, once we sold it. But, I mean, she absolutely was no hesitation. This must be done. You need the money. Here's the money. God bless.
Wow. Wow. That collaboration between the different entities is so important, and we continue that today with working together with you and also with our different outlets at EWTN and our radio stations. How important do you think, Father, the growth of, in particular, we know about EWTN television, the impact that's had, and you know about that specifically, especially with the films that many of which have aired, and of course the Steve Ray's great video series on the Footprints of God. But how important is Catholic radio, do you think?
Well, it's so important that I had a great idea in 1997. I thought there are only two stations in the United States actually broadcasting Catholic material. There were a lot of stations owned by Catholic institutions, but they weren't broadcasting Catholic material. So I thought, hey, let's start a Catholic radio network. And I raised money for it. We started it. We bought seven stations, and it was a total failure. You know, it didn't work. I have a lot of failures, but that's one of them anyway. And I think it's absolutely critical, absolutely essential, because you're not going to get a proper view of the news from the major media.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not just for church things. It's for world things.
Exactly.
Things
mm-hmm.
in our country.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Catholic radio is an indispensable part of this web, this network of blogs and of books and of television, you know. No Catholic, and also schools and seminaries. We have a lot of improvement in some Catholic schools and the homeschooling movement and the family school movement. There's so many good things happening in the United States. And it's due to Strong Lady. It's due to John Paul II, his inspiration, Pope Benedict. That's not going to go away. And I'm really delighted that we have so many people that are really out in the vineyard.
Yeah, if you think about when Catholic radio, after the demise of the Catholic Radio Network, you think about the birth, you mentioned Immaculate Heart Relevant, and you think about EWTN, if you combined all the Catholic radio networks that are out there now, the main ones you mentioned Relevant and EWTN, we probably have, I think EWTN has close to 400, and with Relevant we've got now, we're quickly approaching, not quite yet, but almost 1,000 Catholic radio affiliates, not to mention Sirius satellite radio, where we're on 129 and 130.
In the U.S.?
Yes, in the U.S.
Oh.
Yeah, in the U.S.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, because if you're mentioning the different networks, so you've got those two combined, and then if you look at Sirius satellite, where there are different Catholic channels, ours
right.
being 130, and you think about that, so people are listening on Sirius satellite, they're listening on the internet, they're listening in all kinds of different apps, and yet just the brick and mortar stations alone are close to, I would think, probably, if my math is, I'm not the greatest mathematician, but combining the two major Catholic networks, you've got close to at least 600 stations, so it continues to grow.
Wow.
So, Father, as we close, final thoughts on how Catholics should be involved right now to really make a difference. And I really truly believe in respectfully reminding our bishops, we're praying for them, but we do want action. We do want the Vigano investigation, supporting those who've written the letters, praying for the Pope, but also asking for the Pope, as we did in the Women's Letter and in the Catholic Men United. What else can we do as faithful Catholics to make a difference in this crucial, crucial time in the Church, do you think?
You know, Teresa, there's something for everyone. Each one has a call and a mission. And, of course, the most important fundamental one is marriage and family, to have children and raise them up in the faith. But whatever person is doing, we have an obligation, a special obligation in our time, to be well-informed Catholics, and then to pray with our friends, you know, with our support group. And what can we do? As Ignatius says in the exercise, what have I done? What am I doing? What will I do for Christ? And if people pray for illumination, what they can do, they'll find the answer. God is not going to hide that from them. So I would say prayer is at the heart of it. The sacrament of life is at the heart of it. The Eucharist is at the heart of it. And then that prayer will lead us out into the peripheries.
And Father, let me close by recommending, and I've recommended this book so many times, because my second favorite saint is Saint Catherine of Siena, Caterina Benincasa. And of course, Saint Teresa of Avila, after whom I was named, is my favorite. But the book that you published, when you've published many of his books, but Louis de Wall, Lay Siege to Heaven, that book, I'll tell you what, I think I've read it three times. And what a great book for right now, Lay Siege to Heaven.
Amen. Right? Saint Teresa, what year was Saint Catherine born in, you know? Remember that?
Well, she was before Teresa of Avila, so she was, what, in the 13th century, correct?
Yeah, 1347. I remember that number and that date because that's how many vines I have in my vineyard up at our retreat house. 1347. So come and visit us, Teresa, and I'll give you some of my fine wine.
Awesome. Thanks, Father. Always good to talk to you, a fellow, a wonderful Catholic believer and teacher, and also a fellow Italiano, Father Giuseppe Fessio. From Ignatius Press. Happy anniversary, Ignatius.com. More Catholic Connection coming up. Stay tuned.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I'm operating on the gifts of the Holy Spirit when I don't feel well, even when I'm annoyed, when I'm down and out. During my recovery from an automobile accident, immense numbers of people wrote to me and sent me emails, 50,000, and they told me how helpful they thought my talks on EWTN were to them. I'm delighted. But I want you to know, I'm nobody's fool. The talks that were helpful, the sentences that were helpful, the phrases that were helpful, came from the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the styrofoam packaging came from me. I did that. And styrofoam doesn't amount to very much.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
Are you passionate about Jesus? Are you zealous for Jesus? Are you fervent for Jesus? Are we fervent for the gospel? Are we passionate about helping this world come to know him? Is that true? It's not true for most people in the church. Is Jesus my best friend? Is he your best friend? I'm looking around the church. There's a set of guys in here who have great man caves. As I was praying this morning, I felt like the Lord said, hey, when are you going to come to my man cave? Like, you guys think a flat screen TV is really cool. Well, you should see what I got to offer. Because I and I alone, he says, can really give you what it is you're longing for. Whoever it is we're rooting for right now, they're going to lose eventually. Or whatever it is that's occupying our time, one day we're going to realize it really wasn't that important. Why aren't we hanging out with the one who alone can show us what life is really all about? When was the last time you hung out in the Lord's man cave?
Always something new to learn about our Catholic faith and the beautiful prayers that we have. Of course, we can always just pray in general and say, Lord, help, which I do several times a day. But we also have beautiful formalized prayers, such as the Divine Mercy Chaplet and, of course, the Rosary. And that's why I'm excited to have Father Edward Looney on with me this morning to talk about this great little book, and it is little. Quite literally, it's a mini book. You can stick it in, as I've been saying in the intro, your bag, your purse, whatever. It's a rosary litany, and our friend on the phone with us is Father Edward. And you should know that this wonderful little book was endorsed by our very own Father Larry Richards from the Reason for Our Hope Foundation. Read this book, Father Larry says, and use it in your daily prayer and discover the power and love of our Blessed Mother. How beautiful. I highly recommend it, says Father Larry. Father Edward Looney, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. So give us a little bit of your own story as why you decided to put this little book together.
Sure. Yeah, you know, it all started back when I was in the seminary and I was on a pastoral internship. So Mundelein would do this program where for 10 weeks you'd go and work in a parish side by side with a pastor. And one day I get a phone call from a friend of mine from Texas who was also on pastoral internship. And he said to me, Edward, I prayed the rosary today. And I'm like, oh, well, that's great. You should pray it every day. But he's like, I prayed it in a different way and it really came alive for me. And I just thought I would tell you about it. And he had learned about it from one of the Lighthouse Catholic Media talks by Dr. Edward Sree. And there was this little method of inserting a clause after the name of Jesus in the Hail Mary prayer as a way to focus it, the prayer and meditation. So then I started to do that myself, and he was right. You know, it really did deepen my meditation, and I found that I was focusing a lot more on the rosary mystery. Come to find out, when I would later read The Secrets of the Rosary a year or two later, St. Louis de Montfort talked about this method of praying the rosary and kind of had his own suggestions on this method. And so really it's a way of praying the rosary that has become one that's my favorite and really helps me to reflect on the rosary mysteries.
So what do you mean when you're saying a rosary litany? We think of litany, we think of Litany of the Saints, which is beautiful and powerful, but what, and we think of the names of Our Lady, we have the litany of all the beautiful names of the Blessed Mother that we often say, especially when we're praying before the Blessed Sacrament. I know that's something that I love to do. But what do you mean in particular, Father, if you could explain it, a rosary litany? You mentioned inserting scripture. Is there something maybe a little bit more to give people to understand it in a little bit more detail?
Sure. You know, the title is a little deceptive in that sense, but maybe that's a good thing because it allows us to talk about it a little bit. But I chose a rosary litany partly because I think it was John Paul II who said that the rosary becomes like a litany-like succession of Hail Marys. But then I realized that when you insert a phrase after the name of Jesus within the Hail Mary prayer, so like if you're praying the Annunciation, Thy Womb, Jesus, announced by the angel, Thy Womb, Jesus, conceived by the Holy Spirit, you know, and going through the different phrases that one could use for that, I realized, well, by modifying the name of Jesus, or as I do later in the meditations, the name of Mary, it was almost like it was a litany, that there were these different phrases comprised a little litany, which was contained within the rosary prayer itself. So that's really how the name came about.
And in terms of the response so far, Father, what are people saying about it?
Sure. You know, this book came out a few years ago, actually, and by a smaller publisher, and they unfortunately went out of business, and the book was quite popular. People were ordering 50 books at a time to give away to their prayer groups or their parish members or whoever it might be, and so I knew that the book needed to stay in print, so I contacted Our Sunday Visitor, and they happily picked up the book and put it out in a new format and version and with beautiful illustrations, and what I hear from people is kind of what my friend initially said to me, that it helps to deepen their meditation. You know, one of my friends is Mike Stark, who does the Truth and Life audio Bible, and mm-hmm. he prays the Rosary Litany version of the Rosary, as I proposed it, every single day. He's the biggest fan of it, you know, so I know that it's helping people really delve deeper into the mysteries.
Do you think the rosary, it kind of fell out of favor for whatever reason after Vatican II? A lot of the seminaries even, you know, pushed it aside for a while, which I thought was a real shame. And now we see so many priests like yourself really embracing it, and especially younger priests, helping people understand this gift that St. Dominic gave us through Our Lady.
Yeah, there is a recovery of the rosary, I believe. And even sometimes when you go to these youth events, if you go to a Steubenville youth conference or something, they'll be praying a decade of the rosary throughout the weekend at various times, so that by the end of the weekend, all of the people there will have prayed the rosary. And maybe for some of the youth, it's an introduction to the rosary for the very first time. But for others, maybe it's something that they do pray occasionally with others. I know there was a priest from my diocese who went on a Steubenville trip, and some of these kids wanted to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet while they were walking around a mall because it was 3 o'clock. So I think devotion is really coming back, especially among our young people. But I also think of all people that we're realizing, well, we really do need this. And so that's why little rosary devotional books are helpful, because as people rediscover, they can be introduced to new methods and new methods of praying the rosary that can help them.
We're talking with Father Edward Looney about his book, A Rosary Litany, published by Our Sunday Visitor. And you can find out all the details on the EWTN Religious Catalog as well as osv.com. EWTN.com/religious catalog if you'd like more information. We also list the book titles and the guests every day at our website, AveMariaRadio.net and EWTN.com in terms of archiving. You can go back and listen if you want to rehear something or just get a little bit more familiar with the different products that we're talking about and the tools that we're providing you with. I think, Father, the more we can learn about the rosary, the more we can understand it maybe more deeply or differently, it can only help in our prayer life.
Yes, that's precisely true. And, you know, kind of what I've found with this method that I've recovered from St. Louis de Montfort, that St. Pope Paul VI talked about and John Paul II, is that when we pray the rosary, if we modify the name of Jesus within the Hail Mary prayer by adding one of those clauses, it's really Mary helping us to get to know her son. And that's what Mary wants to do for us as our mother. She wants us to know Jesus, and she wants to introduce him and tell his story to us. And I think that's one of the values of praying the rosary in this fashion, that Mary really helps to tell the story of Jesus for us.
So can you give us an example, Father, of how would you pray this with your suggestions in a rosary litany? Can you kind of walk us through?
Sure. Yeah, so I just opened up the book to the Agony in the Garden, and basically, as you would pray the 10 Hail Marys, I provide 10 different phrases for each of the beads. Now, a person could choose to just use one. They could maybe use two. They could use all of them and during the 10 recitations. So for the first bead, it would just be, Thy womb, Jesus, agonizing in the garden, Holy Mary, Mother of God. Thy womb, Jesus, praying in the garden, Holy Mary, Mother of God. Thy womb, Jesus, who prayed they all may be one. Thy womb, Jesus, who prayed that this cup might pass. So quite literally what I do is I basically go through the scripture of the mystery and try to make a progression so that, you know, it's coming alive before our eyes. It's a little different, you know, than the scriptural rosary that some people might be familiar with, because with the scriptural rosary, the phrase from scripture is often inserted before the Hail Mary. But this is integrated within the prayer itself, almost allowing us to pause and to think of Jesus, to think of the mystery within the prayer that we're praying. Yeah, as we go to some of the more Marian-focused mysteries like the queenship, I modified Mary's name, Holy Mary, Mother of God, Queen of Angels, Holy Mary, Mother of God, Queen of Saints, kind of emphasizing those regal titles of Mary. So that's kind of a little introduction, I suppose, to the method.
Yeah, I think what it does is it helps you refocus as you're going along and then think of the beautiful roles Our Lady plays in our lives and the different titles that she has.
Definitely. And it allows us to call to mind the great mysteries of the Rosary and of Jesus' life. When St. Louis de Montfort, he said, why should you pray the Rosary? Because if you don't pray it, will you be reflecting on the life of Jesus at some point today? And so it's always that constant reminder of who Jesus is, what he did for us, and that we have a God who loves us.
And the book, again, is A Rosary Litany. Our guest is Father Edward Looney. Is this for someone, Father, would you say, is it both for beginners who maybe are just getting into the Rosary, maybe they're a convert and they've just started to pray the Rosary? Is this for longtime fans of the Rosary as a formalized prayer? Is this for anyone, do you think, all of the above?
Yeah, I think first it could be used for someone just wanting to learn the Rosary, and And maybe for some of our Protestant brothers and sisters who've converted to Catholicism, so as they've become Catholic, maybe they've had a reservation about the rosary. And I think really this emphasizes the Christocentric nature of the rosary, and it might be able to help them to appreciate it a bit more. I think, too, for the rosary pro, that maybe sometimes, you know, we kind of get in a routine, and so this kind of disrupts that. And maybe will take us a little deeper then, so that we kind of get out of the monotony of praying the Hail Mary and trying to pray it with a fresh mind and to keep the mystery alive before our eyes.
What I love about the rosary is it really is, I think, it's a lectio divina, because you dive into the scriptures every time you say the rosary, regardless of what mysteries you're praying.
Yes, that's right. So it's such a beautiful prayer, and what a great gift it is for us and for the church.
So, Father, what's your next book? Are you going to do another one on the rosary, you think, or what do you have in mind?
Well, I'm actually working on a prayer manual with 10 books. So I came out with a lot of different devotional writings on the Shrine of Our Lady of Good Help up here in Wisconsin, and because the publisher I was working with went out of business, they kind of all became out of print, and so I'm going to put them together into a little prayer book together, so that, you know, instead of having 5 different little prayer booklets, that they'll all be in one, and I'm writing about 100 new prayers to accompany that. So that will be the next project that I'm currently working on.
So I really would hope that more people, even if they're converts, I know the Marian issues sometimes are an issue for converts coming into the church, but eventually when they trust the church and they start reading and they start praying the rosary, Our Lady will really explain things to them. So again, this would make a great little stocking stuffer, I think, Father, because here we are, you know, in the middle of November already, and people are starting to think about Christmas gifts. I think it's a great little gift.
Yeah, it would probably fit in a Christmas stocking. It's the price point is right, $5, and so you could buy a lot of them and give them away to your family and friends, your prayer group.
I'm just going to say your prayer group, your Bible study group, maybe.
Yes, even give one to your pastor, help him to pray the rosary and to deepen that devotion. The rosary is very important for priests, and so it's good for the faithful to remind the priests of that, and to, you know, unfortunately there are some priests out there that don't care for the rosary, that kind of, they poo-poo it. So it's also a helpful way to maybe engage them in that prayer.
Beautiful. Father, thanks so much for this handy little book, A Rosary Litany, Father Edward Looney. And you can get it through our religious catalog or, of course, our Sunday visitor, osv.com. Father, where do we find you online if people want more information about the great work that you're doing?
Sure. They can find me on Facebook or Twitter at Fr. Edward Looney, or go to my website, edwardlooney.com.
All right. Thanks. You have a great weekend. And we'll be right back to wrap up Catholic Connection. And heading back home today from the motherland. Pray for safe travel. We'll be right back.
If you're currently an EWTN media missionary or just interested in becoming one, we've got some great news. EWTN Media Missionaries has a new and improved website, EWTNmissionaries.com, designed with you in mind. Our new site is loaded with great features and it's easy to navigate. There are so many different ways that you can help EWTN. Join us in sharing the eternal word with the world. Visit EWTNmissionaries.com today.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Catholic Connection is underwritten in part by Charity Mobile. Communication is critical, and in today's world, your cellular service is your lifeline to family and friends. Ave Maria Radio and Charity Mobile are partners in communicating the most important message of all, the good news of Jesus Christ. Charity Mobile is a provider of cellular LTE phones and service and has been a proud supporter of Ave Maria Radio and other pro-life causes for more than 10 years. More information at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Charity begins at phone.
If you have any questions about a program you heard today or maybe yesterday, or if you have a question about something we do here at Catholic Radio, just give us a little note at EWTN.com or AveMariaRadio.net. You can also find out some background information about the various programs. You can get updates on our radio and TV schedules. It's all there for you online. And remember, we are here to keep you connected to your Catholic faith. And as my dear, dear friend and Catholic Radio colleague, Al Cresta always says, to help you remember to look at everything in our lives through the lenses of Scripture and the teachings of the Church. And remember what I always say, something I heard years ago, that our Catholic faith has to be everything to us. It has to come first. I'll never forget that. I heard a priest give a homily, and this was during one of the most contentious elections recently, and he said, our Catholic faith shouldn't be a factor when we go into the voting booth. It should be the factor. Because, again, we have to look at everything through the lenses of Scripture and the teachings of our one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. Hope you enjoyed the program today, and we'll talk to you tomorrow on Catholic Connection.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.